Good morning. Welcome to you as we gather together for our virtual worship on this Sunday morning. As we do as normal, we're going to light the peace and justice candle. But as we light it, we also remind ourselves that this is a candle of hope. So let's light the candle and then we will follow that with a prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that as we gather together, we are reminded of your presence wherever we are, in our homes, wherever we might find ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that through your presence, we are able to sense and feel your amazing grace. Pray, Lord, that even as we are separated, in a very special way through the miracle of your Spirit, you would help us to feel united. Help us to feel that we're worshiping together with others in this moment. And so we recognize you as the God of hope, as the one we can turn to in our times of struggle and pain, as the one who is always present, because through Scripture you have promised that over and over again. And so in these moments of worship, as we read Scripture, as we reflect on it, as we pray, help us, Lord, to sense you, to feel you, and to know you right here in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we join together in our first song of worship this morning. It's not a well-known hymn, but its words are really apt for the theme for this morning. The first two lines read like this: My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. With that in mind, we turn to our first reading for this morning, and I'm reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. We must thank God at all times for you, friends, you whom the Lord loves, for God chose you as the first to be saved by the Spirit's power to make you his holy people, and by your faith in the truth. God called you to this through the good news we preached to you. He called you to possess your share of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, our friends, stand firm and hold on to those truths which we taught you, both in our preaching and in our letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope, encourage you and strengthen you to always do and say what is good. May God bless his reading to us. It was in 1927 when an S4 submarine was rammed by one of their own ships. Off the coast of Massachusetts, the submarine sank immediately. The entire crew of 40 men were trapped on board, and after every effort was made, they were unable to save the crew. All efforts to save them failed. Towards the end of the ordeal, one of the rescue divers had reported that he heard tapping from inside the submarine. It was Morse code, and the message was translated into, "Is there any hope?" I wonder, in today's world, with all that we're going through, with isolation, with fear and anxiety, with the unknown, with the corruption we see around us all the time, with war, famine, the pandemic we're all going through, I wonder if many of us are not asking the same question. Is there any hope? King David in the Old Testament was going through a particularly difficult time, troubled and turbulent time, and he put his words down in a psalm. And so we read Psalm 13, a prayer for help. How much longer will you forget me, Lord, forever? How much longer will you hide yourself from me? How long must I endure trouble? How long will sorrow fill my heart day and night? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look at me, O Lord my God, and answer me. Restore my strength. Don't let me die. Don't let my enemies say, "We have defeated him." Don't let them gloat over my downfall. I rely on your constant love. I will be glad because you will rescue me. I will sing to you, O Lord, because you have been good to me. Let's take a closer look at that psalm, because the outline of the psalm is divided into three parts. Verses 1 and 2, we see David expressing deep abandonment. It's almost as though he's stuck in a valley. In verses 3 and 4, David begins to ask God to turn his face towards him, to answer his questions. And like, to continue the illustration, David almost begins to climb out of the valley to ascend a mountain. In verses 5 and 6, David recovers his trust in God, remembering God's goodness and his hope that can be found in him, and hope for the future. David reaches, if you like, the top of the mountain, and he looks back and can see all that God has done for him in his life. So let's take each of those sections and look at them individually. The first part, verses 1 and 2. How much longer will you forget me, Lord, forever? How much longer will you hide yourself from me? How long must I endure trouble? How long will sorrow fill my heart day and night? How long will my enemies triumph over me? We've all had times like that, when things just seem to get the better of us, when everything seems to be against us, when life just seems like an absolute uphill battle all the time. No one is exempt from those kind of events. We all face struggles at some point or another. For King David, it was not just a bad day. For him, he's feeling abandoned, lonely, lost, maybe even depressed. David is finds himself in the deepest valley, and he feels that God has forgotten him. Due to the length of his trials, if you look at those two verses, you will see the term "how long" is repeated 5 separate times as he expresses himself to his God. This has been going on a long time. David feels God has forgotten him because he no longer feels God's presence. It's almost as though he feels God is hiding from him. David's in mental turmoil. This is going through his head all the time. How long? How long? How long? Have you ever felt like that? David's in physical turmoil. How long will my enemies triumph over me? David feels trapped. He feels like his back is against the wall. I came across this quote by A.C. Dixon. When we depend on organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend upon education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon humans, we get what humanity can do. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. That brings us to our second part of the psalm, verses 3-4. Look at me, O Lord my God, and answer me. Restore my strength. Don't let me die. Don't let my enemies say, "We have defeated him." Don't let them gloat over my downfall. David is still struggling, but he's started to climb the mountain of faith. He's no longer languishing in the valley. Will you notice that his questions have turned into requests? Restore my strength. Don't let me die. There's an ancient saying that says, don't get out of the train while you're in a tunnel. In other words, don't make important decisions in times of darkness. Wait for the light. David is asking God to help him cope through the situation. It's a constructive request. David is asking, if you like, for light. God doesn't promise to prevent pain and tragedy. We will all experience that at some stage or another in our lives. That is life. But there is this hope that God will see us through those things. You might remember this poem. It circulated on the internet a number of years ago, entitled, "I Asked God." I asked God for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked God for prosperity, and God gave me brawn and brain to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience, and God placed me in situations where I was forced to wait. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed. My prayer has been answered. We will experience and encounter difficulties in our lives over and over and over again. What God does promise is to be with us through all those difficulties and struggles, to give us the power of his presence to know that we can cope, so that through that we might get a fresh perspective, so that in our pain and our loss and our heartbreak, that those things don't consume us, even though at times they may overwhelm us. We have somebody to hold on to and see us through that. In David's case, we don't know whether God changed his circumstances or whether he was just able to cope because of God's presence. Maybe the circumstances didn't change. Maybe David changed as he grew in faith and strength. And so we come to our third and final part of the psalm in verses 5 and 6. Figuratively, David has come out the valley, climbed the mountain, and now finds himself on the top of the mountain. I rely on your constant love. I will be glad because you will rescue me. I will sing to you, O Lord, because you have been good to me. When we ask God a question, we often get an answer to something different, or maybe even get another question. I think of Job while he was going through his persecution and his struggles. He was asking God why, and God's response wasn't an answer to why, it was an answer to who, as he told him who had created the world and who had created him. I think of Mary and Martha when Jesus comes because Lazarus has died, and they say why, and Jesus' response doesn't answer the question but reveals who he is, as he is the I am. God doesn't avoid the question, because maybe the answer is just too big for us to handle, or maybe not even applicable to be answered. And so David, in these last two verses, as he finds himself on the mountaintop, focuses on three things. In verse 5, he focuses on God's unfailing love. I rely on your constant love. God is constant, and his love is constant. It's unfailing because God is unfailing. It's dependable because God has proved again and again to be dependable. That is God's nature. He cannot be anything else. Circumstances change, people change, but God remains constant and unfailing. He never changes. An illustration comes from the late 18th century when a monk one evening was asked to preach on the love of Christ. And as he prepared for that and as he shared with the people, he simply took a candle, took it to the crucifix, illuminated Jesus' feet, his hands, and his head, and then concluded and said, "I need say nothing else." Secondly, David focuses on God's salvation. Again in verse 5, I will be glad because you will rescue me. Notice it's not a question about where God is. It's not a God, not a request. It's almost a statement of faith. Because you will rescue me. God's saving grace will not take our problems away, but promises to help us through those problems. Life with God and with Jesus is not an absence from problems and struggles, but it is a help to get through those situations. David found help when he prayed to God. Thirdly, David focuses on God's goodness as he says, I will sing to you, O Lord, because you have been good to me. David's looking back at past victories. He has seen how God has helped him in the past, and surely if God has done it in the past, he can continue to do it in the present and the future. How he'd experienced God in the past, especially when he didn't feel that God was close by, but God was with him. In hindsight, David realized God is there all the time. And so with us, We need to be reminded that God is there all the time. And maybe it means we need to look back and see how God has been faithful in the past. So as we ask that question, is there any hope? We need to remember, even though we can't see Jesus, even though we maybe don't feel him present, we can be confident that he is there. He is present. And so just a little bit of a recap of Psalm 13. In verses 1 and 2, David is complaining. In verses 3 and 4, David is praying. In the last two verses, David is trusting and rejoicing. David's eyes are no longer set upon himself or set upon his struggles or what he's going through. They're now focused on the Lord. David is no longer dwelling in the dust. He's now standing on top of the mountain, counting his blessings, past and present. David is willing to put his faith into action, to put his belief into practice, and to discover God to be loving, faithful, and good. In God, our hope is found. And so I conclude with a version of Psalm 13 that was written by Leslie Brunt, and invite you to enjoy these words and listen to them, and also to read them on the screen. O God, sometimes you seem so far away. I cannot in this moment sense your presence or feel your power. The darkness enveloping me is so stifling. This depression is suffocating. How long, O God, do I have to live in this void? O God, how long? Break into this black night, O God. Fill in this vast emptiness. Enter into my conflict, lest I fall, never to rise again. I continue to trust in your ever-present love. I shall again discover true joy in my relationship with you. I will proclaim your praises, my Lord, for you will never let me go. Amen.
Here I cry, O King of Heaven, Jesus, hope to every heart. We are lost without your glory. We are lost without you, God. Be the fire that burns within us, flames of love that purify. Send your power and your salvation. Let us see your kingdom come.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence, for the promise and the assurance of hope and of your glory. Pray, Lord, that as we find ourselves at times when we lack hope, when we fear the future, when we're so confused with what's happening around us, that, Lord, we would know your presence and that you would come and meet our need for hope. So, Lord, give us hope as we face all that we're facing in these strange times. May we trust and rely more and more upon you. May we learn from David as he journeyed from the valley to the mountaintop. May we always keep our eyes fixed on you. So, Lord, we pray for all the people that surround us, those we know and those we know less. We think of the needs that surround us. And we pray, Lord, that if we're finding it difficult to hope, we realize other people are as well. Help us to reach out and offer hope to others. May we be agents of your hope as we discover you being our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to receive this blessing as we conclude our time together. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost and proclaim Christ in all we do and say. God bless.